Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Text 22. From chapter 12, canto 1. Mrigendra eva vikranto.
Mrigendra eva vikranto.
Yushevyo himavan eva.
Yushevyo himavan eva.
Titikshur vasudevasao.
Titikshur vasudevasao.
Sahishnu pitrarabhiva.
Sahishnu pitrarabhiva.
Mrigendra eva vikranto.
Mrigendra eva vikranto.
Nishevyo himavan eva.
Nishevyo himavan eva.
Patikshur vasudevasao.
Patikshur vasudevasao.
Sahishnu pitarabhiva.
Sahishnu pitarabhiva.
Mrigendraha.
Mrigendraha.
The lion.
Lion.
Eva,
eva,
like.
Life.
Vikrantaha,
vikrantaha,
powerful.
Nishevayaha,
worthy of taking shelter.
Shelter.
Himavan,
the
Himalaya mountains.
Mountains.
Eva,
eva,
like. Tetikshuhu, forbearance. Vasudha eva.
Vasudha eva.
Like the earth.
Like the earth.
Asau.
Asau.
The child.
The child.
Sahishnuhu.
Sahishnuhu.
Tolerant.
Tolerant.
Pitarau.
Pitarau.
Parents.
Parents.
Eva.
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Translation. This child will be as strong as a lion and worthy of shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and tolerant like his parents. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One is compared to the lion when he is very strong in chasing an enemy. Guess what Prabhupada writes next? Lamb at home, lion in the chase. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of state should never fail in chasing the enemy. Next. The Himalaya mountains are famous for all richness. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains, and he will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. Then the next quality is, on the surface of the earth, there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth. And still, the earth is forbearing to those inhabitants. Like the mother who excuses a little child, parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the child, Parikshit, is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. I'm going to also cover the next verse because it's speaking of equanimity of mind, which is related to this topic. But we'll discuss this first. Prabhupada is expanding on this lamb at home and lion in the chase, or from the previous verse, one who gives protection to those who have surrendered, like Maya Danava we're discussing, or the personality Kali, or the two Jagai and Madhai who had offended Lord Nityananda, but in their surrender they were protected. So again, this is the quality of king. Sharanyaha. But it's also a quality of a devotee, or a great personality. A devotee is supposed to be a great personality, by the way, in terms of the whole evolution of consciousness, to come to the position of taking shelter of the personality of Godhead in full consciousness of Him is beyond the stage of karma, gyan, yoga systems. It's the pinnacle of evolution of consciousness. And so those who are devotees should aspire to have those nice qualities. Like in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing the stages. The topmost is one who's fixed, whose mind is always absorbed in me, intelligence engaged in my service. Such a person abides in me always, without a doubt. And then, if you can't do that, follow the regulations of bhakti yoga. If you can't do that, try to work for me. If you can't do that, be self-situated and be detached from the fruits of your work. Do some charitable work and be self-situated. And so on. So the position of one who is in this topmost stage is very pleasing to Krishna. Krishna describes the qualities of his devotee, which Krishna decorates, because the qualities of the devotee are the ornaments that Krishna uses to decorate his devotee. The devotee decorates Krishna. Our pujari is decorating the deity. And Prabhupada describes the worship of the deity, or decorating or serving the Lord with sincerity. It's like a mirror, where in the mirror you see, as you're putting on your tilak, you're decorating your forehead with tilak. But it shows in the mirror you're decorating your forehead. So you're similarly, when serving Krishna, specifically he mentions in terms of deity worship, but in any form of service to Krishna, the devotee becomes decorated. We're like the mirror, and Krishna is the object. Only we're seeing the object, and we're the mirror. We're being decorated by serving Krishna. So when we serve Krishna, Krishna decorates us with qualities. And those qualities are pleasing to Him. And because those qualities are pleasing to Him, the devotee becomes dear to Him. More dear to Him, more dear to Him, more dear to Him. As Krishna goes on decorating and decorating. And the devotee becomes so grateful and goes on serving and serving and serving. And Krishna is decorating and decorating. It's very nice. So this whole section is qualities that Krishna has decorated Maharaj Parikshit, or in turn, the qualities that as devotees, we should want to please Krishna by making such offerings to him. So, the idea, previous idea, two verses ago, was a king or a devotee, when one surrenders to the king or the devotee extends in all respects everything to give protection and shelter to that individual. So supposing it's the opposite. Supposing someone is directly inimical. They want to hurt Krishna. Or they want to hurt Krishna's devotee. Then Raghendra Eva Vikranto. The quality of being capable of great prowess to assert, to establish the the well-being of those who have taken shelter or those who are elevated souls, like the situation that's just happening in Jagannath Puri. Prabhupada has been directly offended. And the people from the other side, it's a very interesting dialogue, the people from the other side are saying, we made a mistake. But still, why we did it was, you're having your Rath Yatras on different days than the tithis that are spoken of in Skanda Purana. And that's not right. We want to protect and uphold the good name of Jagannath Rath Yatra. So there's all this talk about, well, maybe we won't have Jagannath on the cart, maybe it'll be other deities on the cart, maybe we'll change the name and don't call it Jagannath Rath Yatra, call it some other name, or, you know, like doing some bargaining at the bargaining table with these offenders. And it's not even the temple, it's this political group, Jagannath Sena, and they're radicals. And some pandas, so they want to, so then what is our position? It's difficult. Because we could easily just say, you know, you people are offenders and we have nothing to do with you. And then, on the other hand, we want to show that we're reasonable people, so as reasonable people, let's sit down and talk and see what we can work out. That's what the head priest of the Jagannath Temple is saying, or the Indian ambassador to different foreign countries. When in Hungary they have a relationship with the man said, this is outrageous. They should immediately offer full written apology for what's done. At the same time, can't you just sit down and work something out with these people? So work something out with these people, what do? Do we compromise what our founder Acharya has said? One of the devotees in Bhubaneswar is saying, Prabhupada didn't care for these nonsense people. He was spread the glories of Lord Jagannath all over the world. He was the empowered Acharya. He would not budge an inch from these nonsense people. He didn't care for these nonsense people. Jagannath will leave the temple, Prabhupada said, and come to ISKCON. If they... So there's different voices. Another voice says, well, why should we even talk to these people? These are the same people that are saying we can't enter the temple. Where's the scriptural injunction for we can't enter the temple? They want to say scriptural injunction. If we're going to sit at a table with these people, you know, what's the negotiation talk? What are they offering? A strong voice saying, this should be an opportunity for that restriction to be lifted. if we're going to, and otherwise, you know, see you guys later. And then it escalates. Because now there's another group and another group that say, if you hold your Rathiyatras in Delhi and Ludhiana and Chandigarh, other than that titi, you're going to have a problem. We're going to, you know how it goes in India. Oh yeah, well, you just wait and see what happens when you try to have your Rathiyatra. And then the police have to come and it's a big scene. And who knows, people might get hurt. Difficult. Hold a protest. Have huge kirtan in front of Jagannath Temple. Letter writing campaign. You know, what do we... Really comes down to people that are very unreasonable becoming reasonable. And then they agree, and then 2 minutes later they've got another idea. Or 2 days later, or 2 weeks later, next Rathiyatra, or... Very difficult. So king has to be strong. And the emphasis here is, while strong, at the same time soft. So strong isn't, in all circumstances, full throttle strong. Just, you know, strong, 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 never soft, always strong. Soft also must be there, particularly for those who take shelter. And the comparison of the strong is to the lion, specifically when it's very clear there's a miscreant, an upstart, from our language the other day, Prabhupada's purport, strong. But then the capacity, like the Himalayas, capable of giving shelter to anyone, the spiritualist and the materialist. So the example is the Himalayas, as worthy a shelter as the Himalayas. So Prabhupada is explaining, so many things are there in the Himalayas, a place to live, food to eat, medicines for health, so many things, everything, water to drink, whatever you need. If you're a poor man or a mendicant, go live in the Himalayas. If you're a materialist, so many minerals, so many valuable things, Himalayas. If you're a materialist, so... like the holy name, I'm spending some time on the side preparing for this coming weekend, Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Whole discussion on that from beginning to end, that book. So one of the things when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Haridas Thakur, he says, the holy name of the Lord is something, is like Krishna, is not like, is Krishna, and as Krishna, he supplies everything for everyone. For the materialist, the holy name, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, if that's their orientation in life, the holy name can supply that. For the impersonalist, the holy name can supply liberation. For the pure devotee can supply love of God and the highest culmination of possible consciousness for the living being. So then he asks Haridas Thakur, how to come to the stage where one can chant like that, where that he describes one who chants the holy name of the Lord even once for the householder is to be worshipable, respected. For one who is constantly engaged in the chanting of the holy name, that person is to be served. And for one who is just by seeing them one is induced to chant the holy name of Krishna. When Lord Nityananda and his associates would travel under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just simply by Lord Nityananda's glance, he would just simply glance at people, and their hearts would erupt in ecstatic love of God, and they begin dancing and chanting. The children went mad. The children would dance for days and days, forget playing, forget eating, forget sleeping, just chanting and dancing, just by the glance of Lord Nityananda and his associates. They were in a maddened state of love of God. That's the topmost stage. So Mahaprabhu was asking Haridas Thakur, how can one come to that stage of chanting the holy name? And Harinam Chintamani has an answer to that question in phases. So, Nama Chintamani Krishnas, the holy name is touchstone. And again, as touchstone, it's not a cookie cutter touchstone. It's according to, as one approaches Krishna in the form of his holy name, that's the reciprocation provided by the holy name. So therefore our training is that we should aspire for pure devotional service. And here's what pure devotional service is. It's not what mixed devotional service is. It's not mixed with gyan. It's not mixed with karma. It's pure devotional service. Anyabhilashadrashunyam. And the holy name can elevate us to that position. So the qualities of Maharaj Parikshit are strong like a lion, but munificent like the Himalayas, ready to provide everything for everyone in just a turn of a moment, according to the disposition of the heart of that living being. And then two other terms are here. To tikshur, vasudha. To tikshur means, Prabhupada is translated as tolerant, forbearing. Forbearing like the earth, and tolerant like parents. Normally we translate, or we've heard, Tatikshava is tolerating, like the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Matrasparshastukam Theasitoshna Sukadukada Agama Payonityas Tungstatiksha Svabharata. One is instructed by Krishna to tolerate duality. So when you tolerate something, it's like, it's a nuisance. When I arrived here in St. Louis, there was a car alarm. I felt I was back in New York. Rupa Sanatan said, the car has been going all day long. One of those really loud, obnoxious ones. And then it stops. And then it starts again. And it drives you nuts, and then it stops. And then it starts again, until the guy goes out there and turns it off. It's just going to keep doing that till the battery runs out. Or till he turns it off. Or till you go and smash the car and rip the guts out till you stop that. And I'm very accustomed to that sound vibration in New York. My office, as you know, is just right by the side of a parking lot, and then there's the street. And then underneath the street is the A train. So as the A train goes rumbling through, these very sensitive cars, their car alarm goes off. And all day long it's this, those sounds. I don't know how to imitate them. until the guy comes out for lunch and shuts his car alarm off. Then he goes back in after lunch and it starts again because the A train goes through, rumbling through. Hare Krishna. So tolerate is, you know, it's just, you tolerate it because what are you going to do about it? That was before returning back to America. I was in South India, I was in Hyderabad, and it was so hot. Hot and humid. It was, you know, even at night, it was so hot, no shirt, just lying there, no, just sweating, thinking, I can't wait till I go back to Chicago. It's going to be just the opposite. It's going to snow. And so you tolerate this and you tolerate that. What can you do? You tolerate it. That's what you do. So that sense of tolerance is one notion. It's you just don't, well, you don't invest consciousness in the temporal or in asat. Rather, you invest consciousness in sat. You make a choice. Withdraw consciousness from over here, place consciousness over there. So that continues, but you just tolerate it. Material consciousness doesn't tolerate, just all consciousness is invested in trying to neutralize that which gives disturbance. Although so many things are done to create disturbance in the name of reducing disturbance, like car alarms. It's a disturbance. You come back to your car and it's been broken into. So you get a car alarm. You create another disturbance. And that's the way, et cetera, that's the way of material life. Prabhupada, I heard one lecture, Prabhupada went on for 10 minutes describing how material life is like that. There's a problem and you apply, you know, good intelligence to solve a problem, you created another problem, or 10 problems. And that's material life. You know, the crime problem. What's the root of crime problem? Well, we just need a better, stronger police force. And the police force becomes corrupt. It's, you know, and they say so many things. So the root problem is our forgetfulness of Krishna. They don't go to the root. They just go to the, you know, because they don't want to surrender to Krishna. That's the problem. So then they're left with so many problems. And they manage the problems ad infinitum. And those managing of the problems creates other problems. And Prabhupada was listening to one lecture, Prabhupada was saying, they have this crisis. There's always some crisis. So now the crisis is President Nixon's a rascal. So they, you know, have to impeach President Nixon. But you elected the man. So you can't blame President Nixon, you can blame yourself. You fix that problem. Or the oil problem. The solution is there, but they won't accept it. They're rascals. So the problem is some part of the world they have lots of oil. So the other parts of the world want that oil. So if you want that oil, if you say everything belongs to God, the oil should be equally distributed. Then open your doors and let the people who live in the deserts come and live in your country freely, because it's the property of God. But you won't do that. You're rascals. They won't accept the solution. The solution is there. And so instead of accepting the solution, they're trying to manage the problem. They have so many crises. And call it the United Nations. But the United Nations is rather than there's 170 flags, there's one flag. And every day there's another flag, and another flag, and another. And that's United Nations. United Nations is one flag. So, back to being tolerant. Here, Prabhupada has chosen to translate Tatikshava as forbearance, and the next word sahishnuhu as tolerance. So the mother is tolerant, and The Vasudha, that's the earth, is forbearant. So the semantical implication of forbearance is like the earth. The earth remains unmoved. Even people, you know, so this forbearance, or you don't react. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of things that are immovable, what is it? The Himalayas. Who's going to move the Himalayas? So that's forbearance. The cold comes, the wind comes, the rain comes, the heat comes. Forbearance. Unmoved. Very non-reactive. Strong, steady. And tolerant is something more specifically about the mind. The mind putting up with, accepting, this is something that I don't need to address. It's not my priority. It's there. Whatever it is, it's there. It's not of priority. The priority to me is something else. You tolerate this in order to achieve that. Like, you know, children like to play, but they have to go to school. So they tolerate that urge to play and they go to school for some higher purpose or something like that. You know, I want to serve Krishna, and so we come to a place and whatever the weather is, we just accept it because we come for a higher purpose. We come to serve Krishna. So if it's cold, we put on coat and hat, and if it's warm, whatever we do, put on lighter clothing and so on. But the higher purpose is to be fulfilled. So you tolerate duality for sat, the purpose of sat. And forbearance, back again, it's just unmoving, non-reactive, like the Himalayas. It's just, they're just there. Lightning comes, they're still there. Wind comes, doesn't move the Himalayas. Forbearance. So it's like forbearance is like an inner strength. And to be a leader, one has to have that. And that comes in the next verse, that there's always something, or many somethings, or too many somethings, but there's always something. And if you're in this reactive space, you'll have a very busy life. Reacting, unlimited reacting. And then becoming overwhelmed because it's too much. So, the next verse, text 23, Pitamaha Sama Samye. Sama Samye. Sama, it's the quality of a Brahman. Means equanimity. Being equal-minded. Here comes duality. And the mind remains equal. How does that happen? It happens when there's shelter. On the soul level, we've taken shelter of Krishna. And then the mind, you can see there's this feature of duality, that feature of duality, and you remain equal. There's a very nice verse in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam where Lord Shiva is describing the quality of King Chitraketu like that. Narayana Parayana. Narayana Paraksarge Nak Kutaschana Bibhyati Svarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apito Yantra Darshanam. So it's a theme in the sixth canto. Narayana Parayana or Vasudeva Parayana where one's life is the Supreme Lord. And when that stage is reached, one's life is the Supreme Lord. What does duality mean? It's insignificant. Svarga, someone tells you tomorrow, Rajashekhar, you're going to heaven tomorrow. Indifferent. Mind doesn't become, Rajashekhar, tomorrow you're going to hell. I'm not like I'm cursing you, but I looked in my crystal ball and the mind doesn't change. Mind doesn't change. Mind doesn't change. Or Rajashekhar, tomorrow, Vaikuntha Vimana is going to come at the front door and take you and your wife back to Godhead. And the mind doesn't change. Svarga, Apavarga. Apavarga is liberation. Narakeshu, Naraka, hell. Api Tulyarta Darshanam, one sees them, Darshanam, with equanimity. Because what's the devotee attached to? If there's service to Krishna, I'm ready to go here, go there, go the next place. I only want one thing, service to Krishna. So this is Mahaprabhu's teaching also. My dear Lord, you can do with me as you wish. Now, this is an elevated state of consciousness, but in that the elevated state of consciousness is, you have to be attached to something. But be attached to serving the Supreme Lord. Aspire for that position where service to the Supreme Lord is everything. And when that's everything, when your heart is so filled with that, then supposing the invitation is, would you like to serve Krishna in heaven? Well, as long as there's service to Krishna, that's fine. Would you like to serve Krishna in hell? As long as there's service to Krishna. Would you like to serve Krishna in the spiritual world? As long as there's service to Krishna, because there's only one thing I want, that's service to Krishna. So you can embrace me warmly, Mahaprabhu is saying. You can trample me under your feet, you can neglect me. Do with me whatever you like, as long as I can be engaged in your devotional service. That's elevated position. And that's the position of Maharaj Parikshit. It's said that he will have equanimity of mind, sama samye. Prabhupada named one of his disciples Samya. He's living in the Brooklyn Temple, Samya Das. Nice devotee. So, equal in the matter of the dealings of the mind. Samye. Sama Samye. So, he's compared to being equal in mind to his Pitamaha. There's Pita, and there's Pitamaha, father and grandfather. So, our Acharyas, Prabhupada remarks, they have a different idea of who Pitamaha refers to. Pitamaha is Lord Brahma. He's the grandsire of all living entities, or the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit was Maharaj Yudhisthira. So then our Acharyas say, how did Maharaj Yudhisthira have to deal with duality? He had plenty of chance to deal with duality, although he was a perfected soul. And each time this feature of duality came, he maintained equanimity of mind, which is like we discussed last night. When he was informed that Duryodhan attempted to poison Bhima, he didn't just react. He thought in a very wise manner, okay, now we know that he's an enemy. He wants to kill us. That's clear. And Vidura has informed us, confirmed it's so. He's our advisor, well-wisher. Okay, now what's prudent to do in this situation? Didn't just react. Let's go rip these people apart. We're powerful. We're the Pandavas. Krishna's on our side. Let's go get him. It was very thoughtful. And summoning the lake where they had gone, the four brothers previously had gone, and he saw there's his brothers lying dead. And then this voice comes, answer my questions before you take water, or you're dead like them. So, in trying circumstances, he remained neutral. Because in that neutral place, there you'll find the quality of goodness, and in the quality of goodness, then you're closer to God. The indications from God can become discerned by you. And if you are not in that neutral place, you're in a reactive place. I like, I don't like, and there's the modes of nature take over. And you're in touch with Krishna, consciousness gets lost. So, as far as Lord Brahma, the example is given that Lord Brahma was cursed by the gopis. Why did the gopis want to curse Lord Brahma? Because Lord Brahma made eyelids. And when eyelids blink, for that fraction of a moment, they couldn't see Krishna. What kind of a creator is he? He's a fool. If he would create eyes that don't blink, then we would say he's a good creator. Because that nimesh, that fraction of a second, they didn't see Krishna. And in that fraction of a second, it seemed like 10 years or more. So we also find, my dear devotees, I'm sure you have all noticed, I've noticed it abundantly. Prabhupada writes, I'll read it. Well, even those who you're trying to serve, like you go out of your way to try to serve, and what happens? Those persons find fault with how you're trying to serve them. You're not serving me well enough. You're not doing enough. And it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Being engaged in the welfare work of other living beings, any responsible executive agent at the top of administration has to tolerate different times of onslaughts from the very person for whom he works. Ever have that happen to you? No. Anyone that's been around for a while has known what that's like. Parents, temple president, GBC, they'll be in charge of something, you know, serve out the feast or something. See what happens. Do something for a while that we are serving the devotees. Because that's our teaching, serve the devotees. You serve the devotees. The next thing you know, you're being criticized. You're not serving properly. What's wrong with you? You're insensitive. You're not in touch with people or something. You're not doing enough. You have to do more. It should be more and better and faster. All the time. So we certainly want to do more and better and faster and all those nice things. But then, you know, then it can go back the other way. Well, you know, why don't you help me? Then it becomes like, you know, a marriage where husband and wife are fighting. Well, I would help you except that you're like this. Well, why, what do you expect of me? I'm going to be like this because you're like that, and everything breaks down. So a king or a leader or a truly magnanimous person, a person who's going to remain in equanimity of mind, has to resource something deeper than the persons who you're trying to serve are consistently being grateful for that service that you're rendering. The deeper position that one needs to access is This is a nice lesson. I'm not going to finish the purport because of time, but it's a nice lesson. It relates to the topic of relationships that I presented at Wash U the other day. And it's a nice, you know, those of you that have relationships with somebody, husbands and wives and friends and congregation member, a person at work and yourself or whatever it is, remember that there is another person in that relationship, and that's the Supreme Person. This subject-object idea. The object is the receiver of action or feeling, emotion. Let Krishna be the object, and we can be the subject. We're acting in our relationship with Krishna. So now here comes another person, wife or parent or daughter or friend or classmate or whatever it is. If we can make Krishna the object and we're the subject, even if the other person isn't understanding Krishna as the object, if we can understand Krishna, in this relationship, who's to be pleased? It's Krishna. There's a third person. One devotee who's a marriage counselor just helped this particular couple that were, you know, not having a big public thing, but there was strife in their relationship. And the thing that clicked was this point. It was a writing that Mother Teresa, and I just added it to that PowerPoint. Mother Teresa wrote something, you know, you're trying to serve people and they don't understand. Just keep serving them. You want to make them happy. They say that they're not becoming happy. You try to make them happy. You're feeling contentment. People find you're selfish. Find contentment. Go on like that. So the end of it is this very same thing. You know, that you're not satisfying, they say you're not satisfying me in this relationship. But actually, it's not about us and them, it's about the Supreme. So go on serving the Supreme. It doesn't mean you don't care about the other person, but, you know, one flows from the other. If Krishna is pleased, that's the success. And if in marriage or any other kind of relationship, if Krishna is to be pleased, is the purpose of our marriage. There was a devotee couple during our yatra in Mayapur that came and said, we've been married for some time, we have a little child, and somehow we feel because we haven't been trained, the real purpose of married life isn't happening. And I asked them, you know, what do you understand the purpose of married life is? The purpose of married life is to please Krishna, but it's our relationship is so much about me and me. And now there's a third me. And, you know, we're missing the point of marriage. It's to please Krishna. That's very nice. So you like some training how to do that? Yes. Okay. Make some arrangement. Because they were married before I knew them, and the child was there before or after that. So this is the training that the Bhagavatam is intending to give us and Krishna consciousness is intending to give us. It's certainly we want to serve. It's a hallmark of our message of Mahaprabhu, serve the devotees. And implicit in serve the devotees is in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Because devotee means they love Krishna or want to love Krishna. And we're also wanting to love Krishna, so serve the devotees in such a way that Krishna is pleased. And then there's, you know, duality. There's a sometimes this and sometimes that. And there's forbearance and tolerance for the sometimes this, because we stay fixed on the goal. We want to please Krishna. We want to please our acharyas. Please Srila Prabhupada. And please Krishna. And There's Krishna, and there's Srila Prabhupada, and we're in the middle. We just want to please them. So don't make the mistake of forgetting who it is that we're trying to please. If it's I'm trying to please myself, that's not Krishna conscious if I'm not thinking pleasing the Supreme Master, who's the master of my life. If it's the mind is the master of one's life, you're in trouble. You're going to be unhappy. And you're going to make others unhappy. And if the sincere desire is there to please Krishna, then and the commitment is there in the relationship with another person, let us really strive to try to please Krishna by our within our relationship. And you can work anything out. Anything. Hare Krishna. So any discussion?
Maharaj, in both these verses, there's discussion of how, as tolerant as his parents, it says in this translation, the child will be like his grandfather. So this principle of passing on qualities of dependence.
Very important.
I was thinking, I'm not perfect. One of the things my biggest anathema is pride. And while I'm working on that, I'm a teacher and I have dependence and I may have dependence in the future. So what is it I can do when I'm still in the stage of struggling, but striving for perfection, that I'm not passing this on to my dependence?
Well, there's many things one can do, but a prominent feature of what to do is find a role model. It's like you're in the darkness and you're in a boat. You don't know where's the sea and where's the land. But off in the distance you see a lighthouse. That tells you there's land. You just head for the lighthouse. And the wind may come and push the boat this way or push the boat that way. Just keep heading for the lighthouse. And you'll get there to land, safety. I mean, partly lighthouses tell you, look out, there's a reef. But, if you have a basic idea of where you are, then you'll get to the land. So, similarly... Like the discussion yesterday evening, what are we supposed to receive from this? That which resonates, that's the light in the distance, and you move towards that. And if, like the example that you gave, Kunti's being able to center herself once again, be completely peaceful once again, just by the kind words of Vyas and Vidura. So that's a quality in Kunti that's the light. And keep following the light. Hear more about Kunti and so forth, or other devotees that possess similar quality. And Ramanujacharya described that's one of the important steps in developing transcendental quality. Hearing about, remembering, glorifying, praying to perfected souls who embody that quality. You associate with them by that method, and that quality, by association, becomes your quality. So we're over here, we're in darkness, and there's this wonderful quality over there in light. That's one of the merits of hearing the glories of perfected souls. The lives of those perfected souls are enriched with transcendental potencies of specific features. Just like during our yatra, I was mentioning repeatedly that each place has a specific mood, and with that mood we can pray to the devotees involved in that place that their mercy can move us to being more invested with that quality which they had and was manifested in that place in their leelas with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not just, you know, a distraction of the mind away from the problems of life. That can also work, but that's not what it is. About a year and a half ago, I had a sun rash. I didn't know it was a sun rash. I was concerned. It was this rash all up and down both arms. It was just after New York Rath Yatra, and this rash happened. I was concerned, oh, maybe it's skin cancer. Who knows? I better find out. So I went to a dermatologist. It was in Houston. And he was a interesting, real intellectual guy, real smart, real affable person. But he was busy, and so I was in the waiting room, and he had all this stuff all over the walls, all these sayings and, you know, different things, cartoons and awards that he's won and this thing, paintings and this thing, that thing. And when he came in, I said, you know, you got interesting walls. He said, he right away said, it's deliberate. He said, when people, it's been shown, and I've seen it again and again, when people's minds are absorbed in something other than their problem, the problem diminishes, and I can treat them better. But if their mind is just absorbed in their problem, it's really hard. It reduces my effectiveness as a doctor. So I put all this stuff, you know, something on there is interesting to everybody. It's just to distract the mind. It was just a trick. Deliberate. So our hearing about great Vaishnavas, it's not like that. There's spiritual potency in these personalities and in their lives, and they're merciful personalities. They want to give this mercy that they have. They receive, they want to give. So one approaches in that way, then the darkness of our life can turn into light. Although, what qualification do we have to be brought into the light? Just mercy and our eagerness for mercy. Anything else? Got green socks?
Yes. Maharaj, like you mentioned, you mentioned about the relationships, and if we keep Krishna as object of our service.
It's very practical, isn't it?
Yeah. But if we are put in a situation where we are unable to resolve exactly which activity of ours will please Krishna, how to resolve?
Then you consult. You have people that you look up to and give you guidance. Go consult. Don't ask them to decide for you, but you consult.
But if it's like instantaneous,
Well, you can't always consult. That's what you're saying. There are circumstances you can't consult. Often you can. You just postpone the decision until you can consult, or review in your mind what are the great souls, examples of Prabhupada, great Vaishnavas, and so is there some principle that I can take shelter of, at least partially move in some direction to see if that's what Krishna wants. Being ready to withdraw from that and go in a different direction if Krishna so indicates. If he smacks me in the side of the head, and that wasn't it, okay. I'm attached to trying to please Krishna. I'm not attached to this decision or that decision. That neutral space where the real wish is that Krishna should be pleased. It's practical. Many times we can pause. Sometimes we must act. If we must act and we're still not clear, but you have to act, then move in a direction based upon some principle from higher authority, whatever that resource is, being prepared to redirect that path to another path, maybe even the third path besides two. You know, just like the situation in Puri right now. We have to do something. We can't just let what happened just go and go, you know, skipping down the road. We have to do something.
Just one more thing.
Yeah.
But if we are sure that by doing this activity with Krishna, but it's against the interest of the other person involved in that transaction, and how to counteract or how to deal? Because we should not intimidate the devotee who is at this position also, which achieve the object of pleasing Krishna.
Well, you know, you're asking a theoretical question without knowing particulars. It's really hard to say, and even knowing particulars, it can be hard to say. Decisions are sometimes very sensitive. And therefore, pause is often good in those situations. Where you, not like you just, you know, go to sleep or shut your intelligence off, but you're not like overtiming with your intelligence. You're looking for some indication from Krishna. And those things that are clear, that can create a favorable environment, you do that without even necessarily making a final decision. What's wanted is, you know, the essence of your question is, what does Krishna want? So we may not be clear, but something. Can be really clear. So one component is clear, so that's clear. So I'm not going to waffle on that, but I'm going to move in that direction. The final is not clear, but that much is clear. So I do that. So I take a step and see, wait for some indication from Krishna and continue to, you know, consult and so on. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
This tolerance, when we are talking about
tolerance.
It reminds me about the Siddhasashram tree, number three.
Yeah? Okay.
Or the tree.
Yeah. More tolerant than a tree.
The tree is in the mode of the action. It's like giving fruits and giving shades.
Yes,
and
serving.
Serving. And when it's being cut.
Yep. Doesn't protest.
It tolerates. So is the action, is the conscious or the state is in the mode of goodness or the tree?
Say it again. Is the tree in a mode of goodness?
Yeah.
No, it's an example. Trees, as living entities, are in the mode of ignorance. But the example is to be tolerant like a tree. And the emphasis, just as you said, is the same thing that's here. How do you maintain equanimity? By always staying in a service mood. That's the how-to. Because something is disturbing over here. And the mind wants to go to the something that's disturbing. How do you stay where the mind doesn't go to that something that's disturbing? Stay in the mood of service. Always don't move, but grow in the mood of service. And then you can tolerate. Just like the example given is apparent. Now, we know that Srinditi would never do something that would be disturbing, because she's such an angel. But supposing she did something that's disturbing. You know, it's disturbing. Now, as mother, you know, you don't want that disturbance. You want nice. But she keeps doing the disturbing and keeps doing the disturbing and keeps. So to let the mind not be disturbed, stay in the mood of service, and then you'll get, Krishna will give the intelligence how to interact with your daughter in such a way the disturbing behavior disappears and nice behavior comes. In the mood of service. It's not just, I want the behavior to change. If that's all it is, then you're not acting from the heart and you're not reaching their heart. Then it's just cosmetic. It's behavior modification. It's not Krishna consciousness. So what's going on over here with her? That's, she knows what the nice behavior is and she's not always doing this other behavior. So what's happening? What's inside? Etc. In the mood of service. And you touch that which is inside, and all of a sudden this other behavior is gone. It's more challenging, yes.
It's more challenging not to be reacting because they always want to be the more passion and expecting the reaction from us. So keeping us always, unless if you be quiet or non-reacting, really.
Well, you can be non-reactive, but make sound vibrations. But your sound vibrations can remain in the mode of goodness. You know, in the nursing profession, people scream, and the nurse has to not scream back. That's not what nurses are there for. They're recognizing the person's in pain. That's where the scream, their mind, their body, their whole being is out of whack. So the non-devotee persons. You know, it's very disarming when materialists are just zooming around in ignorance and passion, and here's this person, your good self, that just remains neutral to that. And just, you don't have to be silent, but you remain calm and speak pleasingly. Now people go, what's with you? How come you're not buzzing around here like all the rest of us and screaming and yelling and, blaming each other because the job didn't get done on time? It's that person's fault. They didn't do the blaming and naming. And you don't do that. They'll come and ask you, what's going on with you? How do you remain calm when all this chaos is going on? At least those that are a little more, like a little tinge of the mode of goodness is in their being, that will come out in time. So you can speak something transcendental. Until then, you're just remaining calm and doing your occupational duty with great focus and finesse and excellence, because it's for Krishna. These other people, they're, because they've lost shelter of who their real master is, lust is their master, and greed is their master, and pride is their master, and anger is their master, and they got so many masters, they're spun out. How unfortunate. And I know who my master is, it's Krishna. Guru and Krishna, I'm serving them. You have to remain silent. But when you speak, it's purposeful and Krishna conscious. Frankly, it can be more challenging with devotees because we have more expectation. We expect the devotee is going to be like this, when in fact they're trying to be like this, but they're not there yet, and we are expecting them to be there. So we can be more disturbed by a little thing that a devotee does or doesn't do than in the workplace with the non-devotees. So that's why our consciousness should go to the soul within and see, here's a soul who's accepting Krishna as their master. And he's the same master as me, Krishna. I mean, they have the same master as I do. So let us, then you can have cooperation to work to please Krishna. But if I lose the Krishna perspective, then it's just, you know, they're supposed to be up here. I'm disappointed. And when I feel disappointed, it comes out. I vibe them at least. Why are you disappointing me? Instead of being in the mood of service. The mood of service can keep that equanimity of mind. And then what comes out is going to elevate the circumstance in the workplace with non-devotees, in the community of the Sangha of Vaishnavas. Because it's the mood of service prevailing. Always. Treated you never do anything that disturbs your parents, right? Almost never. Anything else? Yes?
Martin, you were speaking of how if one approaches one woman for love, one may even grant that. But isn't that an offense to the woman?
Yeah.
So wouldn't that take someone further and further away?
No, yeah, but so we are understanding that we don't go there, but supposing somebody has those desires. So what are they to do? Akama, sarvakamova, moksha kama, udarati, tivraina bhakti. They're to tivra bhakti. And because we're very fortunate, we have the teachings of Rupa Goswami that says anyabhilasha shunyam. Okay, I'm cultivating this anyabhilasha shunyam, but there's still some desires. Now what do I do? Tivra bhakti. And if one follows that injunction, tivra bhakti, then those desires can be gradually diminished. Like Dhruva Maharaj, our classic. And any one of us, there's material desires. You're regularly confessing your my material attachments, my this and my that. So now what to do? So tivra bhakti. Take full shelter of the holy name. Strive like that. And according to faith, one can strive in this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. That's what Krishna says. You can't do that, do this. You can't do this, do the next thing. You can't do the next thing. Because ultimately Krishna is the shelter and he sees that you're striving. And the operative principle is that Krishna should be pleased. So I'm way down here, but Krishna should be pleased. I accept that. I accept the standards of our great acharyas. And although I'm not there, I accept it. And I'm not envious of the teachings and that position of purity and those that are pure. I'm not envious of them or the principles of their teachings. Tivra bhakti. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Gopinandi
Yopa Swami Maharaj
ki Jai.